This is episode number 56 with Andres Pira. Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Kwong, and each week I'll bring you an inspiring guest with an empowering message to help you rise higher and live your best life. Each guest shares their time of struggle and setback and what specific mindsets, tools, practices, or habits they use to overcome so that you can apply them to your life. This show is to remind you that you're not alone and that there's always a pathway up. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. Our struggles are a call for us to rise. So here we go. Let's dive deep now so we can rise higher together. Hello, beautiful people. Thank you for joining me today on the Rise Higher podcast. So today's episode is going to leave you feeling inspired and fully equipped to intentionally create what you want and to achieve anything your amazing heart can dream of. Today, I've got Andres Pira, who is the CEO of Blue Horizon Developments, and he's the author of the book Homeless to Billionaire. Now, Andres shares his incredible story of being homeless, bankrupt, and clinically depressed to becoming a billionaire real estate tycoon who developed some of the most luxurious resorts in the world. Now, as a teenager, Andres was a high school dropout who didn't think he would see his 20s. And as a young child, when his parents divorced, he drifted between his parents' homes in one of Sweden's worst suburbs. And he grew up in an environment that he said made him believe that the world was cruel and where youth like him didn't have a future. And the idea that he had no control over his life consumed him. And he was certain that his parents would never be proud of him. And so he acted up as a teenager and said he chose to be destructive. And he partied, he dropped out of high school, and he spent his days drinking in the streets of Stockholm with other dropouts. But one day when Andres was 18, he woke up hungover on the steps of an abandoned building. And lying in broken glass and with no idea where he was, he thought he was dead. And he decided to turn things around. And eventually, he moved to Thailand to create a better future for himself when he was 20. And so he moved to Thailand with $100 and ended up homeless on the beach. Now, starving and angry, Andres called one last friend and begged him for money. But instead of sending money, his friend sent a book. And it changed Andres' life forever. So today, Andres dives into what he did to apply the concepts of the book into his life and how he used the power of his mind and beliefs to transform himself and his life to go from homeless to billionaire and from depressed to deeply fulfilled. Now, some of the other things that you're going to learn today is the secret that Andres discovered that took him from being homeless at 20 to a billionaire at 35. How to harness the power of your mind to transform your reality. The power of visualization and why it's essential to create a vision board ASAP. The three-step formula to manifest whatever we desire. The biggest mistakes people make when it comes to attracting the things that they want in their life. Why we should always start with small goals. And Andres' personal meditation practice and his ritual for staying in a positive state. And as always, you guys know there's going to be so much more. So if you're ready to learn the secrets on how to attract wealth, abundance, and your deepest desires in life, no matter how down and out you may be, get ready because Andres shares how in today's episode. Now, also, I want to quickly mention my online course, Believe, which is a self-hypnosis mastery course that is a game changer to help you change your beliefs on a subconscious level to align your beliefs with what you want so that you can manifest it with ease. So I show you in that course how to partner with your mind consciously and subconsciously so you can get unstuck and stop working against yourself. I mean, seriously, if you guys are struggling to get or have what you want, whether that's to make more money, to have that loving and trusting romantic relationship, or to get to your ideal weight or health, or just to feel more happy and at peace within yourself, then you definitely want to check out my self-hypnosis course, which I'll share more details at the end of the show. So make sure to listen all the way through to the end. All right, guys, I can't wait to hear what you think of this episode. Make sure you snap a screenshot of this podcast that you're listening to share it out on your socials. Tag me on Instagram at I am Stephanie Kwong. And of course, I'll be sure to shout you back. Now, make sure you share this episode with your friends too, because there are some really key practices in it that can truly change your life and the lives of the people that you love. Okay, my friends, here we go with Andres.
All right, we've got Andres Pira in the house. Hello, so deeply grateful to have you on the Rise Higher podcast. And where are you right now? Are you in Thailand or did you go to London?
No, funny enough, I just checked into the Plaza. Oh. I'm in New York. So I'm here scouting around for the book launch. We're holding the book launch here close by. So I'm here chasing venues and see where to hold it.
So beautiful. Yes. And we will definitely be talking about your book. And I love it because I know usually when you've done interviews, you've been in your home of Thailand, which I absolutely love, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, 16 years living there now, and I still love every single
day. It's gorgeous. Well, I'd love to start with your story, Andres, because I know, like, kind of where you grew up and then how you ended up in Thailand. And of course, we know from the introduction that I shared with everybody that you went from being homeless and sleeping on the beach to becoming a billionaire in just 15 years using some really powerful practices. But where did you grow up and how did you get to Thailand?
Well, I'm originally from Sweden, so I grew up in Sweden. I was actually born in a tiny little Caribbean island called San Andres. That's why they named me Andres. But I moved to Sweden when I was 3 years old. My father is Swedish, and I grew up there until I moved to Thailand.
And how was that? Because I know when I read an article that Joe Vitale wrote, he said that you needed to leave Sweden. Was there something happening that had you want to leave and go to Thailand? What made you decide to go there?
I jumped out of school when I was 14, so I didn't have any education. And I had a firm belief that if you don't have an education, you won't get a good job. And then I felt doomed, and I didn't like the climate. It was cold, it's miserable, and it's dark. And I just felt that I was born to do something else, and I just wanted to try my luck in another country. And I knew that I needed to distinguish myself from my environment, from my friends, from my gang environments and problems that I had back home. And I knew I needed to start all over. So that was the decision I took at that moment.
Were you in a gang when you were younger, or was just the environment that you grew up in?
I was in gang environments, and I was having a lot of problems back and forward. And I could not really get a job with my CV, if I tell you frankly like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, because especially sharing that and knowing you started there, Andres, to where you are now is radically different, right? Because I know in many other interviews that I've heard, your story kind of started from the moment you hit homeless versus what was life like even before that even got you to that place, because there was a specific mindset that you were in, right? Or that you grew up in or were conditioned into that then you really needed to rise up from. So what had you choose Thailand?
That was more of a coincidence. I inherited around $2,000 when my grandfather died, and that was a little bit of money splitting between my siblings and I, and that was enough money to buy a plane ticket, but I didn't know where. I just wanted to be in a tropical paradise or with coconut palm trees, coconuts, white sandy beaches, and I went to a travel agent, and I asked him what these $2,000 could where what country I could buy a plane ticket to. And she started to show me pictures and catalogs of Thailand, and it looked amazing. So I took the decision there and then. So it was more of a luck or coincidence or whatever
destiny,
you want to call
right?
it.
Right, because you went to paradise.
exactly.
Well, lucky that you had that connection with her to suggest where to go, because you do live in such a beautiful home. So when you got to Thailand, what was that like for you? Because you didn't know anybody there. You didn't have any experience. Obviously, you said you couldn't get a job with your CV in Sweden, and you didn't really even speak the language, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was, I didn't have any real visions, any goals, any dreams. I just wanted to see where the luck would bring me. And I ended up in Thailand with no funds. I didn't know anyone. I didn't speak the language, and it went pretty dire pretty quick. And it turned out not really as I expected it to be. So it turned out to be miserable and hard and difficult.
So what was the shift for you? Because then how did you become homeless when you were there?
When I came to Phuket, Thailand, that's where I live now, I landed a job first promoting a resort on the beach walk, and I was giving out brochures on the street walks and around the beaches, and I was earning, I would say, $100 to $150 a month. But I was living day by day. I thought that life just happens to you and you're not in control of what's coming to you. So that was my mindset. And with that kind of mindset, it led to parties and late nights and being lazy and not going to work and not paying my bills, not paying my rent. So after living almost a year in Thailand with that job, it ended up me not paying the rent for 4 months. And finally, I got thrown out from that tiny little apartment. And that's the day I became homeless. So that's how my journey down to the beach started.
And you were 20 years old when that happened? Yeah.
Yes, correct. Yeah, 20 years
old. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, even though you were homeless, you still landed on a beach.
Well, some people say, well, that's a pretty nice place to be in. But in the conditions around you, it was not very pleasant anyway. So even if it was a beautiful beach, everything around you is still pretty harsh. Yeah.
And so what was the turnaround for you? Because, and how long were you homeless for?
I was homeless for almost 2 weeks, so it was not too long, but that 2 weeks feels like years when I think about it, because being in total misery and guilt and shame, it does changes you completely, and especially when you're proud enough that you don't want to tell anyone back home how miserable and how much you failed, that's even worse. But I came up with an idea because I was too proud. I didn't want to call parents. I didn't want to call family and friends and tell them I failed, because everyone was telling me before I left Thailand that don't do it. You should stay in Sweden. You should get a job. You should get an education. You should not leave. What are you going to do in a foreign country? So everyone was against it. And the last thing I wanted to do was to call back and say, well, you were right. So I had that pride in me, and I refused to do that. So I was sleeping my days away on the beach and feeling sorry for myself and blaming the world, blaming everyone. But I came up with an idea one day, and I thought, well, I'll call an old colleague of mine that I knew, and he didn't have any connections to friends and family, close friends and family back home, and I might ask him for help. And I asked him for money, and I called him and asked him if he could send me over some money since I needed that help, and his answer was no. I do understand him today, because I haven't spoken with him for a year, and suddenly I call him and ask for money. Why didn't I call him before and said, hey, how are you? How you doing? And I was just calling to ask for money. So I would probably do the same thing if that happened to me with a friend or someone I knew. But he said, no, I won't send you any money, but I will send you something that will cheer you up or might cheer you up. And he sent me a book. And at that moment, I was furious. I was angry, because that was the least thing I needed, a book. Because I wanted money. Eat. I needed a room. I wanted to eat. So, I was not very happy. But looking back at it today, that was probably the best gift I ever had in life, since that started to change my mindset. And that started to change how I see the world and how I see opportunities and talents and gifts and everything that surrounds you. Yeah. So that's how I started to amplify it. But it was a self-development book. And I know a lot of people say, well, dosing doesn't work. And it's just, it will not work for me. And I was the same when I started to read the book. I was getting more and more angry because I was just thinking about all this magical thinking that I can just start visualizing and they will come to me and I will have live a happy life. So I started to get more frustrated how people can believe in all this. So I actually started to study this book with obsession to prove it
interesting.
Wrong. So that's how I started.
And
with it,
the book was The Secret.
The book, the first was, there was a secret by Rhonda Byrne. And more or less what they tell you is visualize great things you want in life and see that they're already happening to you or see that you already have them and believe and attach a great strong emotion to it together with that image and vision that you have. And they will materialize. And I thought that was a lot of, crap. So I didn't believe in it at all. But I said, okay, I will prove this thing wrong. And at least I have something to do on the beach. And at least I have something to put my mind to instead of feeling sorry for myself. So that was one of the biggest turning points in my life. Because when I started to disprove it wrong, I was starting to get the same results as the book was telling me. So I started to get more frustrated.
Wait, this isn't supposed to work, right? I'm supposed to prove this book wrong, show that it's a bunch of crap, and why is it working? Stop working because I'm getting what I want now, and that's not the result that was supposed to happen.
Exactly. So that's why I'm encouraging people, at least try it, because it's so easy to judge and so easy to say things that it doesn't work and doesn't work for me or it doesn't work for others. But at least, I mean, do a side, prove it, at least try to prove it wrong. At least try to do it. And then you will discover that actually you might be wrong.
And I know that a lot of people, it's like change is actually scary for the identity, right, of the human. And so I feel like it's not that we're at a lack of tools or practices for people to be able to grow and evolve their consciousness and to raise their vibration and to become who they want. But there's this deep-seated fear of, but if I become that, you know, like I have to lose this old identity. And that can be really scary for some people. Because, you know, same thing with our overweight nation. I mean, I'm in the United States. And it's not that people don't know how to get healthy. There's so much information, but yet they're staying in a certain type of mindset and they're not taking the action. So I love what you said. It's just like, just try it. If what you're doing doesn't work, take baby steps, right? And you took baby steps when you started practicing.
I took the smallest steps possible. And I think that's the way to go because everyone tries to win that gold Olympic medal the first thing they do. And I mean, that's impossible. And I'm so happy and grateful that I started small because it's the small steps that leads to bigger steps. And it's a small step that gives you confidence. It's the small steps that give you courage. And it gives you that evidence that it works. And then you get that confidence to aim for bigger things. But the small steps, I think, is the most important key to any
steps.
I
love that. And I actually wanted to point out one more thing before I ask you what your first small step was. And that is, how beautiful that your friend didn't enable you, right? Because you were in a certain consciousness which had you lose all your money to need money. And if he were to just have given you money with that same consciousness, you probably would have just gotten rid of all of it and wasted away. And so instead of just enabling you, he actually empowered you by giving you something that could actually change your life and change the way you think so that if you were to be given money again, you wouldn't end up homeless, which is exactly what you created becoming a billionaire. So how did you start? What were the steps that you began taking? What was the first thing you, and I'm going to say the word manifest. So for the people who are listening, manifest for me really is consciously creating the life that you love or consciously creating the things that you desire. I don't know if you have a different interpretation of manifesting, Andres.
No, that's the word I use as well. And that's exactly what you do. You create things from inside and they become, they manifest on the outside.
What was the first thing that you manifested to prove this book wrong?
Well, my book actually starts with, it all started with a cup of coffee. And I will explain why my book starts with that. Because most people, they dream of all these grand things to have. They dream about that $1 million. They dream about that Ferrari car or they dream about that penthouse to buy, or they dream about that perfect job or that perfect partner, or they just start with all these big goals. And I was so happy that I didn't start with all these big things, because my subconscious mind and our belief tell us immediately you can't do that, or that's too big, or that's not going to happen. And then you're actually just emitting two opposite frequencies together, and then it clashes and nothing happens, because energy, it needs to go one way. And if you have two contradicting thoughts, it's very hard to manifest them. But I said, okay, I'll prove this book wrong, and I'll start with I'm homeless on a beach. I haven't been having a cup of coffee for weeks. So why don't I just start visualizing having a great, beautiful, tasteful cup of coffee? So I started to visualize. In the book, it says visualize the things you want in life with crystal clear images in your mind. And if you can attach more emotions to them and more senses like smell, touch, feeling, and all this to your vision, then you attract it much quicker, right? So I started to picture that cup of coffee. I remember that the color of the cup. I remember the smell in my mind, and I remember how great it tasted and all that, and how beautiful it is to just have a cup of coffee. I said, okay, well, I'll start to visualize that. So I started to sit under my coconut tree and close my eyes, and I started to think about having that cup of coffee. And I said, well, now I'm going to prove it wrong. And nothing happened for 2 days. And I said, well, I'm proving it wrong. And I almost became happy at that moment. And then the second day, one morning, I woke up at the beach, and one of these jet ski boys that rents out jet skis in Thailand, parasailing and water sports and all that, he came up to me and said, well, I seen you sleeping on the beach for several days, and I just wanted to give you a cup of coffee. So I gave me a cup of coffee. And that was like, wow, that's just a coincidence. So I still didn't believe in it, and I thought that was just a pure coincidence. So I thought, oh, well, I'll try it again. And that is how I started to develop the power of visualization and creating things in my mind before they become reality. And that's what I mean, taking small steps. Thinking about a cup of coffee, most people can do that. But thinking about $1 million house, that's much more harder.
And
exactly, right?
What you said is, like, if you have two conflicting thoughts, you're never going to create what you want, because the frequency is not clean, right? There's a chaotic vibration. Exactly. Like your mind, your conscious mind wants something, but your subconscious is going, are you kidding me? And really what's in the subconscious, right, which is what generates the feeling, is the power machine. So if your power machine isn't on board, like you already were thinking this isn't going to work, that's where your power machine was, but you consciously thought about it enough, and a cup of coffee is simple enough to come versus $1 million that it worked. Exactly. And then you had, what was your next thing that you manifested?
I was like, wow, that's just a coincidence, but let's try something else. Because I remember I was eating a noodle soup a day, and I have problems eating noodles nowadays because I was eating that every single day, the same meal one time a day. And I said, well, I'll try to visualize something else. I started to visualize a nice steak. Well, I remember that steak with the French fries and the salads. And I started to visualize a beautiful, great lunch that I could have because I couldn't afford it. So I remember visualizing sitting in a restaurant and having that waiter coming, giving me that steak. And I remember even the interior design, the color of the restaurant and all that. So I started to picture all these things in my mind. And I mean, visualizations, they don't start just with everything one day, because you do it day after day, and every day you put in more details into that image. So it might start with the lunch, but then after that, the next day it starts with the restaurant. What color is the restaurant you're sitting in? What color is the chair? Well, how does the waiter look like? And what color is the steak? What salad? And all these kind of things, when you visualize it, you get clearer and clearer images. So the more you do it, the more powerful and crystal clear the images become. So that's another step of visualization, but I've done it for 16 years now, so it becomes fun to do it, and there's so much details in it, and you actually create your life doing that, doing it this way. But the second visualization was that lunch, and I was starting to picture it. What I didn't understand at that moment is that when you attach a positive emotion with your visualization, that's where the magic happens. That's where the actual attraction happens. And I was just feeling happy having that lunch, but I didn't understand what I was doing at that moment, because I was feeling glad because it felt like I was already doing it. And I understood that power later on. But after visualizing that lunch, another 2 days went by, and I started to walk on that beach walk on the way to buy my daily bolus noodle soup, right? And I met an old colleague of mine on the beach walk, and he shouted at me, "Hey, Andres, I haven't seen you for a while. How are you? Can I buy you a lunch?" And believe it or not, he took me to a restaurant that looked exactly wow. like I was picturing. And they had that exact steak that I've been visualizing. Wow. So, of course, I ordered that. And that's when I started to understand that I might be into something. Does this really work? Let's try bigger things. And that's how my whole life started to turn around.
You know, so this is interesting because I do a lot of deep visualization. I'm a hypnotherapist. So I also embed, you know, images and things that my clients want to experience in their reality to support them in kind of fast-tracking them, so to speak. And something that's coming up for me right now, and I don't know if you feel this way, is that these desires that we can start visualizing already exist in reality, right? These were placed in our heart, I believe, through the divine, that these desires that we want. And so that's how you can actually have what's in your mind match what's already in the physical reality. Like, it already exists there. It's just you all of a sudden getting this insight that you desire, and then some way, somehow, through, you know, clearing your energy to have it happen, you then create the manifestation of it.
Yeah. All options already exist out there. It's just the options that you picture yourself in, that's the options that show up outside of yourself. So I agree with that completely.
Yeah, because you as a millionaire, it already exists, just like you in 50,000 in debt already exists. And it's just a matter of, are you a vibrational match for which one? Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And it's true. All realities are already there.
So how did you, you got your cup of coffee, you got your lunch, and now you're finally becoming a believer. Yeah. And you're going, crap, this book.
Well, I still didn't believe it, but I started to, this might be, I might be into something. Let's try again. And I started to be motivated. And
your skeptic is still going, is this really?
Yeah, well, I always love to prove things wrong, or I need pure evidence before I believe in stuff. So, I mean, that's why I'm encouraging people at least to try it instead of just putting your own opinions and judge things, but really try it instead of. And also, a lot of people listen to others, and they just because another person said it doesn't work doesn't mean that it doesn't work. I mean, everyone has their own way of seeing, but try it yourself and do it yourself, and then we can form our opinions. That's
absolutely. And I would say even doing it for a certain amount of time, because what are your thoughts on that, Andres? Because I know a lot of people say, well, I tried visualizing. I did it for a few days and nothing worked.
Because they're just admitting itself and they're saying it doesn't work. So what happened?
But you thought it didn't work though, too. So it's
a cup of coffee, someone was telling me that might be possible. So still my subconscious mind was telling me that might be possible, a cup of coffee. And anyone can get a cup of coffee. Anyone has got a cup of coffee for free one time in their life. So it might be possible. So it was something in me saying that might happen instead of having my subconscious mind say, no, it won't happen. So there was still a little bit of belief in there. So that's why I say with small little steps, there is even a small little belief that it might happen can be so much more powerful than just saying it won't happen.
So got the cup of coffee, got the lunch, and then there was the next step for you, which then set you on the trajectory to becoming who you are.
Yeah. And then, well, if this works, now I'm going to visualize getting a job and getting off this beach, getting a room, getting showered, being able to buy new clothes and starting to live a normal life. So that was my third visualization. I remember this as yesterday because it started with a cup of coffee, went to a lunch, and then it went to getting a job that I could move my way out from the beaches. And I started to visualize being in an office environment. I started to visualize having clothes that was representable enough to be around people. And I was starting to visualize having a room with a bed and with a TV and all these kind of things started to become pictures in my mind. And what I did by then that I didn't understand by that time is that I took massive action. And that's what most people do wrong nowadays, or they don't do it at all. It doesn't work to just sit and picture and visualize things and believe they're just going to come to you. No, it doesn't work that way. that the whole manifestation and how you materialize things is when you take massive action after you've been visualizing and believing that it will happen. And what I did, after I started to visualize having a job, I went to every single restaurant, I went to every single hotel, I went to every single office, and I asked for a job. Even if I was homeless, I was still asking. Of course, I was got rejected and rejected and rejected everywhere. I didn't look very good at that time. I mean,
you should have manifested a suit before you. No, I'm kidding.
I guess, yeah, I forgot that part. But I didn't give up. I started to ask for jobs and jobs and jobs. And then after, I don't know how many rejections I got, but finally after, I think it was the third or fourth day after so many rejections, I landed a job for a real estate agency. And that was a similar kind of job as before. They told me to give out brochures outside the real estate office and try to get people inside the door to get a real estate presentation. At least I got a job. I was still working out in the sun and scorching hot and getting sunburned every day, but at least I was getting an income again, and that was enough to get a small room again. And after landing that job, I said, well, this really works. And from that day on, I sit and visualize everything I want in life, because I know I don't wish it works anymore. I don't believe it works anymore.
You have so much certainty in that. And I think that's the you have so much certainty in that. And that is what the creative energy is, right? Is in that deep knowing, that faith that it's already occurred, that it's yours and you can have it. And you go straight to your mind to create it first and then generate it in your reality. I know that you do visualization, and you also are a big proponent of vision boards as well. Can you talk about that?
Exactly. Well, it just makes everything so much stronger, because a lot of people, we all have our dreams. We all have desires in our head. I want to be this. I want to have that. I want to meet that person, or I want to travel to that. But it's all in our minds, right? And it's just a cluster of things. It's no order in them, because we always dwell by day-to-day basis. But if you do vision board, you cut things out that you want to be, do, or have, you see them from a totally other perspective. Instead of inside your head, you see them outside of your head, and they become more reality, and you see them on a day-to-day basis, because sometimes we're so caught up with job, family, appointments, whatever happens to our day-to-day life. But if we have vision boards and we have the things that we want to achieve in our lives, and I mean, I have vision boards and I cut out things that I want to experience, people I want to meet, stuff I want to buy, and I have them all over my room and my house. And I see them on a day-to-day basis, because you're just telling your subconscious mind that this is what I'm out for. This is what I want to have. This is what I want to experience. And it's more of a, your brain is a computer. You just have to program it with the things that you want to see in your life.
I love that so much. And I was actually going to ask you, if someone has a difficult time visualizing, right? Because some people, if I ask them, close their eyes, they have a hard time seeing things. But I think having a vision board is extremely powerful to, one, have the image outside of yourself, but two, if you can't close your eyes and just see it immediately, that even having the image outside of yourself to stare at it and then maybe start to close your eyes so that you could start to picture in your mind. But that's one thing that I know to help people. But if people say to you, hey, Andres, I can't actually see when I close my eyes any images, what would you suggest to them?
I was exactly the same. I had problem visualizing, and some people find it harder than others to make videos and images in their mind that doesn't exist, right? But it's all about training, and it's all about the teaching of a person that wins the Olympic medal. He's been training 10, 15 years to win that medal. It's the same with your mind. It's the same with visualizations. It's the same with the meditation. You need to train, and you need to do it on a daily basis. And the more you do it, the better you become at it. I mean, when I started to visualize a cup of coffee or a lunch or getting a job and all that, I was terrible at it, but I started with a minute. I started with 30 seconds. And that's what most people do wrong. They say, well, okay, I'm so pumped up with learning this power of visualization and creating my dream life. And then they think that they're going to sit there for an hour or half an hour or 20 minutes, and then they get put off because they can't do it. And don't start that with that big of a scale. If you manage to do 30 seconds or a minute, great. next time you manage to do 2 minutes, and then within a few months, maybe you're up at 5 minutes. I mean, I can sit for 45 minutes now, and it feels like 2 minutes, but I didn't start that way. Time started when I'm in a ditch, and that's it's constant training. You need to dedicate yourself as well to it.
So what is a specific process that you do when you're visualizing? As I know, you have to calm yourself first, right? But what is your specific process now when you put yourself into that state?
I have a three-step process, and I'm happy you asked for that. It's not many people that ask exactly how I do it, but I've been following the same technique for, well, 16 years now. And that what most of us have problem with is to calm our mind, because as soon as we close our eyes, we start to think about all these thousands of things that are coming into our head, right? And it feels like we're not in control. It's we get caught up with negative thinking or negative events, or we start to worry about things, and it's like we're not in control of what's coming into our head. But a great thing to start to control that is to start thinking about your breathing. And before I start to visualize anything, I need to calm my mind and make sure that all this other thought doesn't come into it. So the first step is to just count. I just start to count to three, and I start to think about my breathing. When I count to three, one, two, three, I breathe in, and I hold in my breath for 3 seconds, and then I count to three, and then I blow out, and then I count to three, and I inhale again, and I inhale, and I do that for about 5 to 10 minutes, because when you close your eyes and you just think about inhaling and breathing in, you're actually only focusing on that. And when you start to do this exercise, you start to see that nothing else is actually coming into your head. Yes, it might happen once in a while, but as soon as you're aware of it, you become better and better at it. And when your mind is calm, I start to think about things I love in my life. Like I start to think about my daughter. I start to think about family members or great memories that I have, because I fill my whole body with an emotion of love. And that's one of the most powerful things in the universe, right? And when I have that full feeling of love, that's when I start to create things that I want to be, do, or have in my mind, because that's a very strong emotion attached to the pictures in my mind at that moment. And that's why they come much more quicker to you. So it's a three-step process. Calm your mind, fill yourself with love, visualize, and then let the universe do the rest.
Amen. I thank you for sharing your three-step process. And I think that's so powerful, because a lot of times people don't even know how to do it. But I love that you got to calm your mind first and then fill yourself with love. And how you can access that is by thinking of the things that you're grateful for, the people that you do love, to get yourself into that energy. And then you get your mind in the pictures. Because I think so often we just try to sit and force the pictures in. And then that's when we start to fight with our own mind and it doesn't work. So I really love that you share that. Yeah. Thank you for your process. And I love how you actually engage now this process of visualization and taking action to build your career. So you were passing out brochures to get people into a real estate office to sit in the presentations. How did you like move up in the ranks to get to where you are?
That's one of the other principles that I've been following 16 years back, and is whatever you want in life, find other people that already have it, because they already found a way how to obtain it. And when I started to give out brochures on that out in the sun outside that real estate office, I started to see the sales agents working for that real estate agency. They came in suits, they were driving this nice car, they're making all this money, and I was starting to look up to them, and I said, well, I want to be one of them. Look at their life, they seem so happy all the time, they have these nice suits and they're smiling, and I started to be like them. Even if I had to go to the market and buy suits that looked like them, but it was not really that suit, but I started to be like them, I started to walk like them, I started to behave like them, I started to instead of being jealous, I started to admire them. Because a lot of people, they want to have a certain thing, but they feel jealousy instead of admiring that person. And that's a very, very, big difference.
That changes your energy. So, you start to go into energy of resistance versus the energy of, like, again, the attraction.
Exactly. So I just decided that that's my next goal. I want to be a sales agent. So I started to study them. I started to be like them and just pretend I was one of them. And that's one of the quickest paths to success, is to just do exactly like another person. Find the person that if you want something, find someone that already has it and do exactly what he's doing. And then you will speed up the process much, much quicker. And it took me 6 to 8 months until I, it was not a coincidence, but one day I met an English guy outside the real estate office, and he said, well, I want to buy a property in Thailand, in Phuket here. Can I go on a property tour? And I took him into the sales office, and my sales manager said, sorry, all our sales agents, they are occupied right now, so we don't have anyone available. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to miss this guy. And he was going home the following day. So I have to say, I remember this guy named Peter, and I said, well, sorry, that there is no sales agents available, so maybe if you're back here in Thailand next year or whatever, we can show you around. But walking out from the office, I came up with an idea. Why don't I take him on my little old motorbike and I'll show him around? I mean, I don't have anything to lose. And that was one of the best decisions I ever did. So he said, well, why not? He sat on that motorbike and I showed him only two properties that I knew of, that I ever visited, because I was not a sales agent at that time. And he ended up buying one on a motorbike. Wow. On a motorbike, yes, that I was driving. And that caught the eyes of my sales manager. And he said, "Wow, if you can sell on a motorbike, you probably can sell on a car." So that's when I got promoted to a sales agent. And after being a sales agent for about one year, I wanted to be a sales manager. So I was looking up to my sales manager, and I saw that he was making a lot more than all the other sales agents. And I wanted to teach people how to sell. So within that year, I finally got the job as sales manager. I was visualizing every single day being that sales manager, motivating people, and just creating the life I wanted. So within a year, I got promoted to sales manager, and after that, sales director. And then after I became sales director, I started to visualize that I wanted to open my own company. And that's how I opened my first real estate agency, after saving enough money as sales director for that organization I was working for. So all this process took about, I would say, 2.5 to 3 years.
But you were consistent. Were you doing your visualizations every single day? It became a ritual for you.
It became a ritual, and I always used the same chair, always at the same location in my small little garden. I never moved around, so it became one of my visualization zones. So it was always the same chair, and I never moved it around, and I never changed the chair, and I was always the same single pay before I was setting my car or a motorbike, depending on what stage of life I was. But I always was sitting there. Sometimes it was 5 minutes, sometimes 10, sometimes 15. The time doesn't really matter as long as you do it, right? So that's what I did every single morning before I went to office.
Do you still have that chair now? Oh.
No, it's 16 years ago. It's totally deteriorated.
Okay, I was going to say it's probably a magic chair. It would be so cool if you actually kept it and put it in a case, and that's like your artifact of, this is how.
You know what? I should have.
Wow. And I love that you also have your spot, because I think eventually, and this is something we, in like neuro-linguistic programming and also in the hypnosis, is anchoring, right? The moment I have a chair in this room over here that is my hypnosis chair, and the moment I sit in it, it's like my body knows exactly where to go and take me. But it took practice to get there. And so if you do have your same spot that you go to, your ritual, eventually it's like the moment you sit in that specific chair or you sit in your garden, you probably hear your birds. It's like your body knows where to go.
Absolutely. I agree. And I mean, you create some kind of energy zone around that, because you spend so much mental powers around you when you're doing that every single time. And every time when you go into that zone, you feel safe in some kind of way. You feel that this is your place of being where you can be yourself. You can go inwards. You get a certain connection with the world and the universe. It's hard to explain for people who haven't done it, but it's some kind of connection that you feel is there. And the more you do it, the more you connect to it, if you know what I'm trying
to totally say. I totally understand, and many of my listeners do as well. It's like you're connecting to that quantum field where everything already exists. You're co-creating with this this source, this universe that really actually wants you to have what you want. We are just the ones that block the flow of it, right? We're conditioned into exactly. fear and lack and scarcity when really we are abundant beings and so is the universe. And we just have to retune ourselves to being that vibration and knowing that we are abundant and we're worthy and deserving. So I want to point this out because this was really interesting. Your first company that you founded, right? You had all this great success and then you founded a company, but it went bankrupt, right? I have done my studies. What shifted? Like, how did that happen, right? Because some people might be thinking, well, I'm doing all this. It's going to work permanently, but there are twists and turns along the way. What occurred for you?
After reaching that success, I started my own company. I started to make that money. I started to buy the cars I wanted. I bought my first house and I was starting to live the dream life. And I stopped doing the thing that took me to that place in the first time. And I saw that, well, I'm already successful now. So it's all by default. I can just, I don't need to do anything more. And that was the biggest mistake at that time, but I'm happy it happened today when I look back at it. But yeah, my first company went totally bankrupt and I lost everything that I built up. I stopped visualizing. I stopped writing goals down. I stopped being proactive and I stopped doing everything that actually took me to the place that made me successful. Mm-hmm. And that was a big learning curve. That was telling me that, and after that day, I mean, I'm never ever going to stop doing that ever again because I know what happens. I think a lot of people will recognize themselves if they lost everything because they did something different than to what they took them to. And I think it's so important because I started to worry about not having enough. When I started to worry, how do I pay the next rent of my office, and how can I pay my employees? And instead of filling myself with belief and things that I want to have, I started to worry about the things that I don't want to have. And that was when everything started to go downwards.
Yeah, yeah. You got to stay in the practice. You know, I always say to people when they go, oh, how long do I have to do this for? And I always point out the Dalai Lama. I said, you know, do you think he's a pretty master meditator? I go, yeah. I'm like, do you think he stopped once he reached enlightenment? Exactly. No, he continues to meditate because that's what works for him and keeps him in that state. So if the Dalai Lama has to keep going with his meditations, you should keep going with your visualizations, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. I agree with that. And I'm a living example of what can happen.
Exactly.
If you stop.
And then what then was the next step from that to hitting the billion?
After losing everything, I started to do everything that may be successful. I started to visualize again. I started to do my affirmations, my incantation, my vision boards, my goals, and all these things every single morning and every single evening. And I started to get the same results again. I started to get incomes. When I lost my first company, I had to go back to another real estate agency and I took a job as a sales agent. And I started to do all the things again, and I became one of the best paying sales agents in that company because I started to do all these visualizations mm-hmm. and goals again. And I started to save enough funds again so I could open up my real estate agency again. So that was the learning curve. And after being successful, I always strive for new things because most people, they have that big goal, they have that big business aside, but as soon as they hit it, they become almost a bit disappointed because it's like, well, I have it now. What's next step? And then they start to feel a bit worried because there is nothing more to strive for. So it's very important as soon as you hit your goals is to find out what makes me happy, what more do I want to achieve, what do I want to see, be, do, or have, and all that. And when I had that real estate, what is the next step after this? Well, I want to be a property developer. So that was my bigger goal, and I started to look at all this property magazine, all these big developers winning all these awards. I started to be obsessed in buildings and architecture and pretending that I was building all these beautiful resorts all over Asia. So I started the same kind of thing again, and sooner or later, I inquired enough investors that believed in my vision and in my goals and my drive, and they backed me up and said, "Well, Andres, you have done some fantastic property investments for us. We got some great returns. Have you never thought of being a property developer?" And I say, "Well, of course I have been visualizing it for a time now."
Yes. But
I didn't say that, of course, but yeah. And they said, "Well, we have enough trust in you, so we have this amount of funds that want to invest in Asia and Thailand, and we would like to make projects around. We would like you to lead them." So that's how I became a developer in the first time. And then year after year, projects after projects, developments after developments, and I'm currently building 1,700 units and apartments across Thailand right now. So yeah. Well, it's a lot.
That's incredible.
So, yeah.
I heard you say, because I know in your morning rituals, you do your visualizations in your garden, you look at your vision board, and there's additional rituals that you have as well. I heard you say some where you said, "I do my affirmations, I do my incantations." Can you share what those are and how to do them properly? Because I know, you know, people always say, "Well, affirmations don't work." I've heard of incantations and have done them because of Tony Robbins is where I learned to do incantations. But can you share what those are and how best to work them for the people who are listening so they know, you know, that they do work? Because obviously you're a living proof of that.
Well, of course, but most people do incantations without emotions attached. And that's the other thing. Most people think that I'm just going to repeat these things I want to be, do, or have, or if I want to have that dream job, or I want to be that best sales executive within that organization. And if you keep, I mean, my incantations, before I was the best sales agent within that company I was working for, I was screaming out loud every single morning from when I woke up in the morning till I hit the showers, till I hit the, when I was sitting in my car, going to the office, I was screaming to myself. Even if I looked like a crazy guy screaming for yourself, I was saying, "I'm the best salesperson on this island. I'm the best salesperson in Asia." And I was doing it every single morning, and I was attaching these great feelings and just believing that I was. So incantations can be done in many different ways, depending on what you want to experience. Everyone wants different things in life, but incantations, affirmations, they're very important. But it's also repetition. It's your subconscious mind. We have two minds. One is the conscious mind. It's like our 24-hour security, and it just guards what's going to go into our subconscious mind. But if we penetrate it and we hack it enough times every single day with incantations, affirmations, and believe in it, sooner or later, our conscious mind will open the gates and let it into our subconscious mind, and it becomes a belief, right? But we need to keep on doing it all the time, because our conscious mind is very protective of what's going to come into your subconscious mind. So I believe incantations, affirmations, it just never giving up and repeating the things that you want and believe that, and put some great feelings attached to it. Sooner or later, it becomes a belief, and it will become a belief. That's when the magic, the attraction, and all this starts to happen. But also, you need to remind yourself. I mean, I wanted to have a new car. I remember that car. That was I wanted to buy a Toyota Fortuner, a car that is well known in Asia. And I put T on my hand with a pen every single morning. So throughout the day, I would see that T on my hand, and every time I saw the T, I was pretending I was driving that car. So these small little things that keeps on reminding you of doing these incantations are also very important. Ugh, small little tricks like
so
that.
So good. I'm loving these tricks, Andres. When old patterns yeah. creep up, okay, as you're doing this, and let's say self, or like the doubt, self-doubt, fear start to creep in, how do you stay in a positive state? Because I know that you've also said that on the way to the goal, you must remain positive and happy to build that certainty. But for some people, fear and doubt can be quite strong. How would you tell someone to manage that energy so that they can remain positive and happy on their way to the goal?
That's a great question. I mean, I have worries. I have fears. I'm also a human being. I battle with these things every single day as well. I just think that I became a bit better to cut them out before they become emotions. And that's the whole key to any negative events or things that's going to happen to you, because everything starts in your mind. When you feel sorry about something, or you're worried about something, or you're sad about something, it's because you've been thinking about a certain thing, right? And we need to be observer of what's happening in our head. We need to be observer of our mind and our thoughts. And most of the time when I do get negative things in my head, I observe them and I say, well, I'm thinking about something that is not good. And I cut them out before they become an emotion, because it's actually the emotion that leads into negative events happening outside of yourself. But if you can cut them out before they actually, when they're just a thought in your head, I'm very good at cutting them out before I start to feel bad about it. Because when you start to feel bad about it, you start to think about more negative things that even is going to make you feel even worse. And then another negative thing and thought leads to another negative thought. And then it's a spiral down, right? And it becomes harder to get
before.
Away from it.
But if, and I've, yeah, and well, I've pulled myself out and I've been in them. And yeah.
And if we can cut it out before we become that spiral down, then it's much more easy to turn it around. When some people ask me, well, how do you do that? Well, then as soon as I get caught and, oh, wow, I'm thinking about something that doesn't make me feel good, or this is a negative thinking, or this is something that I don't want to happen. As soon as I see that happening inside of my head, I immediately switch it into something that makes me happy. I start to think about my daughter, or I start to think about a family member. I start to think about something that a memory or a moment that made me extremely happy. So I just reconnect to that moment, and then that powerful feeling just deletes that negative thought that I had in my mind. So, but it's practice once again, and but the more you do it, the more you see
that
it becomes.
So good. I love that. I'm actually going to reroute with a memory, because I think for me, I just try to shift with thoughts. And I actually love that you said, think of a moment in time where you did feel like a higher, you know, emotional state, and that'll disrupt it. So here's what's so funny and interesting. I was reading this article that Joe Vitale wrote, because he shared that you didn't even want to tell your story. Right. And
you
were saying, well, it would seem like it was bragging. And he said, it's not bragging to admit that you were homeless. Right.
I remember exactly when he said it, and I burst up laughing.
And it's so interesting, because I think so many people are afraid to share their journeys and their stories, because one, they feel it's bragging, or people don't want to hear. But it's so powerful, because there's so many lessons, if we're in the state of growth, that we can share along the way in our journey. And so I'm really grateful that you are sharing your story now. And I know you've also packaged it in a beautiful book, many of your insights and your wisdom and things along the way. Your book is coming out. I know you just mentioned you were in New York looking for a location for the launch. And I think when we release this, your book would have already come out, because it's coming out at the end of this month, right? April or May.
Well, the book launch is 18th of April now, but it goes out in all the stores on 7th of May.
Perfect. And so your book is called, where's your book? I have the name of it. Homeless to Billionaire. I'm like looking at my notes in front of me. Yes, everybody, I've got notes to make sure I stay on track and get all these good questions in. Tell us all about your book, Andres.
Well, like you mentioned, it all started with Joe Vitale, and he was one of the person that was in The Secret, and he was one of the person that I don't know, he was speaking more to me than the other people. Him, Bob Proctor, and Jack Canfield were the ones that I had I was drawn to them in some kind of way. Everything they were saying made reasonable sense, and I started to study their books. I started to read all Joe Vitale's books. I started to read Jack Canfield's books and Bob Proctor's book. And Joe Vitale, there was some connection with him. And I remember finishing Zero Limits, one book of Joe
Vitale. Which book was that?
And when I closed, it's Zero Limits. It's called. Yes, and when I closed that book, I said to myself, one day I'm going to meet this author and I'm going to thank him in person for this fantastic book, because he just put everything to place, and he actually helped me to become the person I am today. And I sent off an email, I think it was, almost 2 years ago, just out of the blue, and I said, hi Joe, I'm a fan of your work and I would love to see you one day. I would like to invite you to Thailand and speak in front of my employees. And you know what, he replied and said yes.
Of course he did, because he visualized so, that. Right?
exactly. So I met him, and he started to ask about my life, and I told him what I've been through, and he said, you should definitely write a book. And that's how we came into that subject. And I told him, I usually don't like to be that front person and brag about things that I've been doing and stuff. And he was the one who convinced me you can actually inspire people instead. And I'm so grateful that he helped me to do all these things, because I'm getting so great response from people all over the world now, and taking into what I'm trying to teach others. And I also get emails from completely random countries now. They're trying my methods and my principles, and they get these fantastic results, and it just fills me with so much joy, and it gives me much more motivation to continue.
It's so beautiful.
Doing this.
And I know in your book you teach 18 attraction principles. And I want to point out one thing that you said is, like, attracting wealth is not a skill, it's a spiritual ability within us. Because I know many people struggle. That's one of the key things, is around money. They have this, you know, blocks or their fears or the lack and scarcity conditioned into them versus the abundance. Is there an attraction principle in your book? I know that obviously the visualization and the incantations and everything, but is there something else that's inside of the book that you could share that could support people in breaking through that, the money mindset and the wealth consciousness and the lack?
I believe all the 18 principles are fantastic tools. I mean, some of them I learned from other authors. Some of them I learned by myself with trial and errors, from the life journey I've been doing. And I believe in also one of the most fundamental principles that I live day by day is the virtue of giving. And I call it vibrational giving. And whatever you seek in life, make sure to give it first, because it's just an exchange of energy. So, and whatever you give out to the universe, it gives you back tenfold. It's same with hatred or jealousy or envy. When you put that out, you're going to attract that so much more stronger back to you. But if you do that with joy, happiness, gratitude, and you help other people, that comes back to you tenfold as well. And it's just a practice in doing that. And I call it the law of vibrational giving. And since I started doing that, I see that all these great things coming to me. But, and it's not our job to ask this question, when is it going to come, or what, or how long does it going to take before I manifest all this thing? That's not our job. We just need to do our part, and the universe is there to deliver it to you in the best possible way and in the best moment possible when you need it. So this is kind of important things to understand as well. And I believe that if you want to make a lot of money, make other people make money. If you want to be successful, help other people become successful. If it's more love you want to have, make sure to love yourself first so you can give more love into others. So whatever you seek in life, make sure to help other people obtain it as well.
It's so good. I love that. And because I think sometimes we think, if I don't have it, I need it first before I can give it. But it's really in the giving. You're creating that energy. You're in the vibration of it when you're giving or supporting other people, that then creates the exact energy you need to be in for you to manifest that very thing back. So beautiful.
Exactly.
So I have to ask this question out of my own curiosity. I know in the summary of your book, because I haven't been able to get my hands on it yet, I have pre-ordered it, but it says that you've done things like making your employees jump out of airplanes to summiting mountaintops. What is that?
Yes. Well, some people call us crazy, but it has led us to become the most successful developers, real estate agents in Thailand and Asia with these crazy things we do. And I mean, can you imagine a better team building to gather your executives and your employees and climb mountains top and summit and be sleep in tents, being in campfires around, spending several days struggling together, pushing yourself and just doing all this and being away from phones, being away from emails and fax and electronic, being just in nature with people you work with. You get to know them in such a complete other way than you do in an office environment. You really learn to work as a team and to help each other and to see the beauty in people, instead of just having this image of being a certain person in office, because you see the other part of humans when you actually have to help each other in harsh environments. And also jumping out of airplanes, I love that, because can you imagine something more scary to do in life than throwing yourself up from an airplane 4,000 meters above sea level and falling 200 kilometers an hour? I don't think it's much other things more scary to do in life, right? But it's a psychology thing, and it's eliminating fear. Because what makes us not being successful? It's we're always afraid of things. We're afraid of not succeeding. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of what other people will think about us. So fear is always stopping us from getting anything in life. So if you can eliminate fear, it means that nothing else is stopping you for succeeding. And fear is the same feeling. Doesn't matter if you jump out of airplane or you're getting killed by someone or you're failing in business. Fear is fear. Doesn't matter what situation you're in. But if you learn how to handle fear and don't be afraid and attack it, I've seen some dramatic results in my employees and my companies and my departments when we do this kind of thing, because they feel so much more empowered that they actually face their fears and doing something like that. And I see some dramatic results in our production when after we've been jumping out of airplanes. So it does really work.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. So everybody go jump out of an airplane, go face your fears. No, but it's true. I mean, the metaphor of just like looking fear in the eye and taking the action anyway. And when you get to the other side, you realize that most of the pain that we were creating was just up in our minds. It's not, yeah.
It's all in your head. It doesn't exist. We just have to eliminate it. Yeah.
I love this so much. Andres, thank you for all your time and wisdom. Your book is called Homeless to Billionaire, The 18 Principles of Wealth Attraction and Creating Unlimited Opportunity. Guys, get your hands on this book. I cannot wait to read it to hear more about your teachings and all the things that you've learned to create what you've created along the way. So I appreciate you so much, Andres. And I've got just a few more questions to close this interview out. The first is this. What is something unique about you that most people do not know?
Wow. You got me off guard there. I think, well, if they haven't read the book, there is a lot of things they don't know about me.
The whole world is about to know.
Yeah. You know, no one ever asked me that question. I love everything that has to do with extreme sports, everything that has to do with adrenaline, everything that has to do with living on the edge. That's something that signifies my lifestyle. And I'm a passionate collector of rare gemstones that I have a very, very deep passion about. And when I'm not in office, I spend my days studying and reading about gemstones all over the world and trying to find rare pieces in every corner of this earth.
See, that's really cool. So that's a little never guess that.
No, nice. No one knows about that.
And when you're in a dark place, what's your go-to to get out?
When I'm in a dark place,
just
what kind of
maybe when you're
place?
In that deep negative spiral in your own mind, right? Or you're just experiencing fear and pain. And maybe you've just trained yourself to not really be there anymore.
No, I do get into that spaces, but then I start to think about all the great things that I already have. And I start to be grateful for all the things that I already achieved or already have. Or I start to think about all the fantastic moments I have with people I love. And that takes me out of that space pretty quick.
And knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your 10-year-old self?
Never, ever give up. Persistence is the key. And whoever tells you that it can be done or you shouldn't do it, if you have a belief that this is something you want to do, just go and do it. And you will finally always get it, no matter what. Just don't give up.
I love that. And you're just a living testament of that. I love how, bringing this back to the beginning of the interview, you know, everyone was telling you, stay in Sweden, don't go to Thailand. And it was you needing to hit those hard moments and being out of your environment where you were already conditioned, right, to think the way you were thinking that created the results you had then. You changed it up and now you can be like, you remember how you said don't go to Thailand? Look at me now.
Yeah. You know, I love inviting those people over to Thailand, and just after they've been in Thailand, they're telling me that this is the best holiday they ever had in their life. And it's more or less, well,
it's so
I told
good.
You
I'll
so.
Have to come visit you because I love going to Southeast Asia.
Well, you know, Stephanie, you're more than welcome. Anytime you're on that part of the world, you know how to reach me, and I'll make sure you have a fantastic time. Absolutely.
Andres, congratulations on your upcoming book. Again, I'm so excited to read it myself. Everybody who's listening, please go get yourself a copy. You can actually I think by the time this comes out, you'll get yours immediately on Amazon, but that's where I got mine. Where can people connect with you?
I have my website, andrespira.com. I have a blog there, and where I talk about the 18 principles. They can pre-order the book there as well, or on Amazon. And the website is being daily updated every week with quotes and principles. And I interact with people who ask me questions. So go ahead and reach out if there's something you wanna learn. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time and for your invaluable wisdom and for sharing your story. I'm so excited for you. Have a beautiful rest of your time in New York.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
A fantastic day.
I hope you guys are fired up right now to really step up your manifestation practices so that you can have what it is that you want. You know, you have everything you need right now to command all the things that you want to show up in your external world around you right now. Now, you might know this, but are you doing something about it? Are you taking the time each day to upgrade your beliefs to align with what it is that you say that you want? Because here's the thing, you get in life what you believe and what you're vibrating at. And your beliefs create your vibration, which is the magnet drawing in all the things that you have in your life, whether you like it or not. So if what you have in your life is not what you want, whether that's your health, your relationships, the number in your bank account, whatever it is, you have the power to turn that all around when you intentionally harness the power of your mind and program your subconscious for what it is that you do want. Now, as you probably know, that is my specialty. My work is based on reprogramming the subconscious to align with what you want so that you can manifest with ease. So if you're struggling to hit your goal or dream, or you're working hard and you're not experiencing the results that you want, then there's some belief change work that needs to happen. And if you want some support with that, you know I've got you. As I shared at the top of the show, I created a badass holistic course showing you exactly how to use self-hypnosis to radically change your beliefs on a subconscious level to create an entirely new reality for yourself. So if you've been struggling to get or to have the things that you want, again, whether that's to make more money, to have that loving romantic relationship, to get your ideal health or weight, or, you know, just to feel happy and confident or at peace with yourself, then you definitely want to check out my self-hypnosis course called Believe. And I put a big fat discount up on the site for you. So it's a no-brainer. You definitely want to go check this out. And you're going to love this course because I show you how to get out of your own way by programming new and empowering beliefs at a subconscious level that align with what you want so that you stop the struggle and you can easily be, do, and have everything that you want. Now, I go deep into the exact steps that I use to practice self-hypnosis. That's been a game changer for my life. And this is also what I teach to my private clients, to build a new future that looks and feels exactly how they want. And I give away a lot of secrets that I use with my private clients that you can use for yourself. Because you guys, it's game time to finally have what you want. So if you're ready and you want the support, you can go to stephaniekwong.com/self-hypnosis to learn more and to get yourself into the awesome and powerful practice of partnering with your mind consciously and subconsciously to build a new future for yourself that includes everything that you want to be and have. And I'll also link up where you can get the course in the show notes page. All right, guys. If there's someone that you know who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them because sharing is caring. And if you got value from this episode and you want more, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And I would be so grateful if you take a moment to leave a 5-star review if that feels aligned for you, on iTunes, because that means we can support even more people to rise higher together. And if you've already left a review, thank you so very much. Now, for everything that we mentioned in today's episode and for the links to connect with Andres or to get his book, Homeless to Billionaire, you can get all the links in the show notes, and that's over at stephaniekwong.com/EP56. All right, beautiful people, until next time, you know that I'm sending you so much love.